Hello everyone, and welcome to this special final episode of Exploring the NQS. So a little bit late. I've had a busy couple of weeks, but I'm looking forward to sort of doing this wrap-up episode. I think it's going to be pretty unstructured, pretty meandering. I just want to, you know, take a look back on the sort of seven quality areas and the 40 elements we've covered over the last little while. I want to start, as always, with these episodes with a big thank you, but a special thank you this time. For those who are regular listeners of the main podcast, you know, that show has been around now for a while, since 2016. It was this sort of crazy small idea Lisa and I had, and we managed to rope Leanne into it. We, as we've sort of said a few times in the podcast, often at our end of year episodes, we do it for love of the sector and the professionals who work in it. We, Lisa and I and Leanne, used to always be talking and emailing about early education anyway, so it kind of made sense to record those chats and put them out there. But, you know, the main show's always been free, and it always will be free. We want it out there as a resource for the sector that's available to everyone. But the, you know, the show takes time. It takes a particular amount of resources, and particularly for me, because I edit and produce the podcast as well. It's quite a bit of extra time on top of my full-time job. Lisa and Leanne both have busy lives as well. We really enjoy doing the show, but what this show and what your support on Patreon means is it makes it all a lot easier. It means we can go to things like conferences, the Social Justice and Early Childhood Conference we've been for the last 2 years. Our travel and everything was paid with Patreon funds. We just bought some new recorders for recording interviews when we're out and about at events. You know, that wouldn't be possible without the Patreon. So look, I hope you've been enjoying this series, but you know, just your ongoing support has really meant a huge amount. In terms of, we sort of set up the Patreon account and weren't offering anything as part of it. We were sort of saying, look, support us if you can. You basically did get the show for free. I wanted to make sure there was sort of something additional for those people who were giving us extra support. And then it was sort of a process of working out, well, what? One of the themes of the podcast has been professional development and how much harder that's become for educators and for people working in the sector to find. So I have this feeling that one of the reasons that the podcast, the main podcast, is has been, you know, as successful as it has been, is that it's a really easy way for people to access thinking and discussion and professional development about early education. So I wanted to do something that was around about that, that was about professional development, that was pretty inexpensive. People only need to chuck in, you know, a dollar or a bit more and get access to a whole bunch of stuff. And for me, if we're going to do professional development, we should really start with the National Quality Standard. That's the thing that on a day-to-day basis people are looking to meet or exceed those themes. If we look at the range of the 40 elements, it's really covering such a wide range of practice. So exploring the NQS felt like a pretty simple idea. So it's kind of amazing to me. I've reached the end of that goal now. I've covered all 40 elements, all seven quality areas. So this wrap-up episode is going to take an overview look at a few different things. So I thought I might start by just having a look at the National Quality Standard in general, and particularly where it came from, covering it element by element. I mean, we didn't really get a chance to talk about the background, the context of where the National Quality Standard came from. So I've worked in early education for about 16 years now. So I worked in the old system as well. The National Quality Standard has been around since 2012. I was a director and a team leader in the old system, the system we sort of called the accreditation system. Now, under that system, we didn't have the National Quality Standard. We have a range of kind of similar, they weren't called elements, but there were different things we had to meet to get our sort of rating under the National Childcare Accreditation Council. But it was a lot more paperwork heavy. It was less focused on practice, and it was more focused on having these big folders full of things that could prove you were able to do particular things. There was much less focus on people, you know, coming in and actually observing the day-to-day operation of the service. But particular, sort of above the quality standards, there were also, every state and territory had a different approach to the regulation of the sector. So you would cross, you know, those state borders and just be working in an entirely different system. So the National Quality Standard really came about because under the National Quality Framework that we wanted to move to a national system, that this idea that, you know, Australia is not that big. And, you know, in the scheme of things, you know, with about a million children attending early education services, we should be able to have one system that can support all those children and all those educators and all those families. At around about, and that was sort of in, you know, the 2000s, we were starting to think about that. At around the same time, in that, particularly in that decade 2000 to 2010, with the research and knowledge had really sort of crystallized around early education. We were really getting a sense of how important it was, and obviously particularly for young children, but the need for investment, the need to really take early education seriously. It's not just childcare, it's not just daycare, that we need to have a national approach to it. And if we're going to have a national approach, it needs to be, you know, less complicated, more clear in terms of what's being asked. For those who have only worked under the National Quality Standard, they might think I'm a bit crazy saying that the NQS was designed to be less complicated. But for those of us who work in the, or who used to work in the old system, we know that's true. Actually, it's great to have something like the Guide to the National Quality Framework. It's great to have a single standard, which actually sort of outlines what the expectations are and what the guides are. But for me, when I talk about the National Quality Standard, separate to regulations and separate to, you know, big 300-page guides, separate to, you know, assessment and rating visits, all those different kinds of things which are great for the sector, what I always remember and what I always advocate for about the National Quality Standard is it's about children. It's about children's right to have high-quality approaches to what they do. It's about people sitting down and saying, we need to have a standard. We need to have something that means that every centre in Australia is meeting a particular minimum standard, that any child can walk into any centre around Australia and have a minimum expectation that their health and safety will be upheld, that there are learning programs in place to support their learning and well-being, that educators are engaging professionally and respectfully with each other, that children's families are supported. You know, we shouldn't forget that, but that's really what the NQS is about. We can do what I've done over the last, you know, year and a bit and break it down into bits and pieces and analyze each bit of it, but taking a step back and go, this is about children's rights, that to me is really, really important. So thinking then about sort of how we use the NQS, over the last 40 elements and seven quality area over those episodes, I'm trying to think about, you know, what I've sort of, well, for me, this process of learning and discovery about this this system has sort of meant for me, and sort of coming up with a few, I think I've got sort of three and four sort of points here around, you know, the utilization of the National Quality Standard, how on a day-to-day basis, if you're a leader of a service, or even if you're just an educator, you know, working as part of a team, how you would sort of use the National Quality Standard. Obviously, the starting point would be the philosophy and the quality improvement plan. So these are the two documents you kind of need to have from a regulatory perspective as you start a service, or as a service came onto the NQS, you had to have these developed. Now, these documents, they're only as useful as they want to be by the service. They can be, you know, big and complicated documents, or they can be, you know, small and relatively straightforward. This really for me is, you know, one of those cliches about quality over quantity. I'd far rather see services that have, you know, a one-page philosophy and maybe, you know, a couple of elements in each quality area that they've got a quality improvement plan on, if they're actually used by the service. You know, if those particular things are actually things that are discussed and debated, they're included in, you know, documentation around children's learning and development, they're referred to in staff meetings, but really that comes down to you and the service. How do you want to use these documents? They can be these things that sit on the shelf and are huge and inaccessible and have 50 million points in them, or they can be, you know, have a couple of really key points that are regularly referred to by the team. The second thing I think about is how you use the documents of the National Quality Framework separate to the National Quality Standard. Obviously, the National Quality Standard has a lot of particular language and particular ways of thinking about practice, but you've obviously got the Early Years Learning Framework as well, the law and the regulation, as well as the things in the Guide to the National Quality Framework. My really strong recommendation is using all of those things in the other documents you develop, your policies, your procedures, your code of conduct. We really need to see the NQF as the sort of starting point for everything we want to do. Once we've sort of have approaches that are meeting or exceeding those requirements, we can then go off and do, we can explore other approaches. It might be things like Reggio approaches or Rye-based approaches. That's totally okay. But for me, it's really important to sort of nail the NQS first. And using the language of the NQS and the other documents of the NQF, the National Quality Framework, as much as you can in work plans, in communications with families, the more the language is used, the more it becomes part of the culture of the centre. It's a really big bit of advice I would give people. And then it's about thinking, how can we actually have meaningful engagement from educators and families about our engagement with the National Quality Standard? Now, we, you know, during assessment and rating, those are really, you know, stressful and difficult times where you will get getting a whole bunch of people involved to demonstrate what the service is doing, and that's okay. This idea that we don't take, you know, that we just treat assessment and rating like every other day, great in theory, not going to happen in practice. It's really important the services are doing what they can to demonstrate they're meeting and exceeding those standards. But around those other times, how can we actually engage educators who are time poor, who have complex jobs to do, and families who, again, may be coming in and out during the day, they in and out at the start, at the end of the day, maybe not spending a whole bunch of time with us. How can we get that meaningful engagement from educators and families? Again, it's different for every service. You know, you might want to be looking at things like, you know, online surveys you can send out to people, information nights, newsletters. But really thinking, if you can crack that question, it makes a huge difference to your meeting or exceeding of the National Quality Standard. If people know that document and how it's engaged with and how it's relevant to the service, that's more than half the battle. It's when people sort of don't know why they're doing what they're doing, that they're turning up for work each day and maybe doing great things with individual children, but don't have that within a framework of quality and positive approaches. That's where things aren't fantastic. So meaningful engagement with educators and families, how do you do it for your service? Only you can answer that question. And then the last thing I sort of think about here is, how do you make it useful for you? How do you engage with those elements of the National Quality Standard in a way that's relevant to you and your service? I know this is one of the big frustrations with the National Quality Standard out there in the sector, is that it's too vague, or it doesn't give enough direction, or it's not telling you exactly what you need to know. I really understand that frustration, but it's important to remember it's been designed that way, that every service is unique, that you can't have an approach that works for, you know, somewhere in the middle of a huge bustling city and also works in a regional and rural, you know, or a remote, you know, a town. Those approaches obviously have to be radically different. So the way I think about it is, when we ask that question about how we're going to meet or exceed the National Quality Standard, or we take that down to a particular element, the question you want to ask is, how do we meet this element? How do we in this service, in our unique position with our children, families, communities, how do we meet this element? Not what's the best way to meet this element that I read in a book or I saw on an online forum or that Liam talked about in a Ridiculous Extra podcast. How do we meet this element as a service? That's the key question. And you'll have, you know, 40 different answers for that element. And your answers should be, you know, for each element of the National Quality Standard. And your answer should be different from the service down the road, from the service in the next town, from the service in the next state. But if you can, you know, spend some time with each of the elements on that question, how do we meet this element? That's you know, a great way to be getting on with self-assessment and continuous improvement, which is what I want to talk about next. So one of the foundational principles of the National Quality Framework is self-assessment and continuous improvement. This is really what the National Quality Standard is kind of fundamentally about at the level, at the fundamental level. It's really about saying we want to be always improving the work we do with children, that we don't just get to a point and go, okay, we've nailed this, we can stop and sort of rest and just go around, you know, just stop what we're doing. We're always learning more about children's learning and development. The research and the science is continuing to grow on how important the first 5 years are. So that means we always need to be updating our knowledge, always doing better for the children we work with. How we tackle this is challenging when we have no funded professional development, we have educators who aren't paid a huge amount to do the incredible work they do, directors and leaders who are seriously overworked in all they need to do. But I have a couple of, you know, just quick points here. The first is really, you know, making sure this is professional and not personal. How do we have those discussions with educators, with teams that are around saying, you know, we're doing great in this area, but we need to improve in this area? That makes it about being professional, not personal. The second thing is that culture of reflection, and that kind of feeds into the first one. The way you make it professional is by making it an accepted and everyday part of practice. And it's important then that that's led from the top. Educators working in classrooms have to see the directors and the leaders of the center engaging in reflection and are self-assessing themselves. How do I improve? And when they see that that's an accepted part of what happens in a service, it becomes much easier to engage with that. And then the last thing, and I mention this a lot, I think, during the episodes, is be realistic. You have to choose particular things to focus on. You cannot have, you know, a huge plan for all of the 40 elements of the National Quality Standard and maybe one or two, you know, two for each element. It's just crazy. You have to choose things to focus on. I would really recommend focusing on quality area two first, which is children's health and safety. If we're not getting children's health and safety right, you know, for me, there's not a lot of point getting the other things right. So that's a particular quality area you want to look. How are we making sure we're doing everything we can? And then we can sort of spiral out into the other ones. But making sure you're choosing things that are relevant for your service to focus on. Don't try and bite off more than you can chew. Pick the things that are most important and that you can have a plan to work on. All right, with that, so the bonus extra episode of Exploring the NQS, we're now officially done with this journey, so I won't repeat all my thanks from the start, but I am really, really grateful to everyone who's listened. Now, we'll be back with another episode next Tuesday where I'm going to provide a bit of an intro to the next series, so we'll be exploring something else, which I'm kind of looking forward to. It's a bit different than I'd planned, but this sort of came up as an opportunity, and I'm kind of a bit really excited about it. But so next Tuesday, I'll have a bit of an intro episode, and then the week after that, I think, assuming I'm organized and have everything in a row, we'll have a new series to start with. Thank you again for joining the show, and until next week, it's goodbye from me.